Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. Thank you. How about plus 10 straight away? Thank you for coming out on this lovely Adelaide afternoon to listen to this old-fashioned reading. Our program, as you see, is called A Bit of Sly Court in Another Eclogues from William Barnes' Poems of Rural Life in the Dorset Dialect. I think it would be useful if I said a few words about William Barnes first. And about eclogues. Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a 50-minute lecture, I promise, but a few words wouldn't hurt. William Barnes was born in 1801, 209, 210 years ago, in England, in the county of Dorset. Now, just a quick geography lesson to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, think of the map of England. Close your eyes and think of England, as I always say. Imagine the map of England projected on the wall behind me. And there you have, in the southwest, the bottom left-hand corner, as I always think of it, the peninsula with Cornwall at the extreme western end, Penzance, Land's End, and so on. And next across from Cornwall, you get Devon. Both those two counties stretch across from the English Channel in the south up to the Bristol Channel in the north. Come one county further across to the east, that is the county of Dorset, just right of centre. Dorset no longer reaches up to the Bristol Channel in the north. It is bounded by two other counties to the north, Somerset in the west and Wiltshire in the east. And if you come back south, the next county along from Dorset is Hampshire. That's just about plumb in the middle of England with the Isle of Wight off the coast of Hampshire, where Tennyson lived in later life. And so you go further on and you get to Sussex and so on. But we're not bothered about the east. That's where Barnes was born, in the county of Dorset, in a lovely little area in the north part of the county called the Blackmore Vale, or the Vale of Blackmore, which Thomas Hardy called the Vale of Little Dairies. Thomas Hardy, who, by the way... he eclipses every other Dorset writer, unfortunately, I think, because there are some other great writers, one of whom is William Barnes. Barnes, who was 40 years older than Hardy, just about 40 years older, Hardy looked up to him enormously. He learned a lot about the dialect from William Barnes. And in fact, when Barnes died, Hardy brought out a collection of his poems. He edited a selection of Barnes's poems, to introduce them to a wider public. But being Thomas Hardy, he rewrote some of them to suit himself. He thought he was a better poet. Well, he's entitled to what he thinks, isn't he? Now, William Barnes was born into a poor farming family. He was the fifth child in a very poor farming family, had a certain amount of schooling, but only up to the age of 13. He left school at the age of 13 to become a solicitor's clerk. It was said because of his beautiful handwriting. Well, he was a solicitor's clerk, first in Sturminster Newton, which is the little market town in the Blackmore Vale, for a couple of years, and then when that solicitor died, he moved south to Dorchester and was a solicitor's clerk again. And after a while, he became a schoolmaster. You may think, well, how on earth could a bloke who left school at the age of 13 become a schoolmaster? In fact, he ran a little private school. He became the headmaster at the age of about 25, set up a sort of private enterprise. There was a good reason for doing this, by the way. He wanted to get married to the girl he'd fallen in love with when he was 18. She was about 16, but her father was violently opposed because Barnes had no prospects. So he took to schoolmastering to make some money. And he was a very successful schoolmaster. A couple of local clergymen had taken his education in hand when they saw that he was very keen to learn. One clergyman, first in Sturminster Newton, and then another one in Dorchester, gave him the run of their libraries. And he was a voracious learner, especially in linguistic and historical subjects. He taught himself languages, many, many languages. And when he was in his 40s, he brought out a book with the following title. I have it in front of me now, a Google Book printer. What would we do without Google Books? Can you remember life before Google? Impossible. Anyway, here is the title page, A Philological Grammar Grounded Upon English, and formed from a comparison of more than 60 languages, being an introduction to the science of grammar and a help to grammars of all languages, especially English, Latin, and Greek, by William Barnes, B.D., St. John's College, Cambridge. B.D. How did he get those letters after his name? Well, he took what we would call an external degree from the University of Cambridge. He enrolled at St. John's College, which allowed you to do this. It involved 10 years of part-time study and a certain amount of residence in college. And what he was studying for was a Bachelor of Divinity. That's what the BD is for. And he became, when he'd finished schoolmastering, a minister in the Church of England. I should tell you that the final exercise before you could get awarded a BD was the preaching of a sermon in Latin. No problem for William Barnes. He taught, as I say, he had a terrific facility for languages. When he went on holiday in Wales as a young man, he loved the sound of the language so much he taught himself the language and spoke it. He kept a diary in Italian and sometimes in other languages. And one of his pupils in his school came top in the civil service exams for India, top in the whole country of England, in the subject of Hindustani, which William Barnes had taught him. Hindi? No problem, just another language. No, I mean, seriously, this is what this bloke was like. Late in life, he gave up schoolmastering, and he became a country parson in a couple of little parishes just south of Dorchester, for all the world like Chaucer's parson in the general prologue to the Canterbury Tales, visiting the sick in the furthest parts of his parish on foot. No horse for William Barnes. Now, what about the poetry? Which is what we are here for, after all, the poetry. Well, from an early age, he had written poems in standard English. Highly competent, but not very memorable, sort of late romantic poems. And suddenly, in his early 30s, out of the blue, as it were, he wrote a poem in dialect, in the dialect of his local language, the dialect of the Blackmore Vale. I've put that in the program. I think it's interesting. In a notebook which he left at St. John's College, Cambridge, I wrote the first of my Dorset poems when I was kept to my room in an ailing from a chill. It was one of the dialogues called an eclogue and was printed in the Poet's Corner of the Dorset County Chronicle, where almost all of them first came out. An eclogue, just briefly, the word itself means a selection or a choice. It was used in classical times of poems by Theocritus and Virgil, and particularly it was used of selected poems that were written in dialogue, dialogues between country people. And that then became taken over as the term for dialogues between country people. Very popular form in England after the classical world and throughout Europe. And other major English poets wrote eclogues. Spenser's Shepherd's Calendar in the 16th century, 12 eclogues, one for each month of the year. Alexander Pope in the 18th century, 4 eclogues, one for each season of the year. But they were all writing in standard English. William Barnes wrote them. He had the idea. Who knows where the idea came from? You know, as he says, he was in his sick room. Well, it just came from nowhere. And he published this first eclogue in the local newspaper, the Dorset County Chronicle. One of his aims, by the way, was to show that the local dialect was not some kind of inferior village speak, but a proper language with its own rules and its own grammar. Indeed, one of the other grammars he wrote, apart from a philological grammar, was a grammar of the Dorset dialect, which he revised 2 or 3 times in his life. Even in the year of his death, 1886, there was another revision of his Dorset dialect grammar. Now, that's where we're going to read poems from today, from his eclogues. All of the ones we're doing today are eclogues because they involve dialogue. And as you see from the program, the first 8 poems that he published were all eclogues, all with a classical title in Latin, Rusticus doing something or other, the countryman doing something or other. The first one, Rusticus dolens, the countryman grieving. Grieving, what were they grieving about? They were grieving because the common lands were being enclosed, taken away. There was a whole series of enclosure acts from the mid-18th century to the mid-19th. And villagers who had been allowed to have the free run of the commons for their stock and to grow a bit of food and so on, were, you know, the land was taken away from them and given or sold to rich farmers in the name of efficiency. So this first poem, as you'll see, is highly political. Ladies and gentlemen, Rusticus Dollens, Enclosures of Common, or The Commoner Took In.